Hello, I was just finishing on the creating a healthy environment for your child with a sense of taste. And the thing I wanted to add was that one of the things that interferes with a healthy intuition for taste is artificial foods and refined foods. And also that it is helpful to your child to help cultivate a wide sense of taste, in other words, sweet, sour, bitter, salt. I think there's one other, but those, that different range of tastes. The Chinese say that the tongue, the greater part of the tongue likes to experience sweet, and that is the organ, the tongue is the organ for the stomach, so that when we eat only sweets, we're just feeding our stomach, thus we get fat. But if we'd like to feed all the other organs, we should have those other tastes in our diet. And in Waldorf education, we say that it's helpful to a child to have a wide range of tastes, so that they become a well-rounded individual. When you're introducing foods, it's always helpful to introduce them one at a time, not only so that you can determine whether they're allergic to them, but also to allow the child to determine whether that taste suits their needs. If they have a healthy sense of taste, a healthy intuition for taste, then they can discern what foods serve them best. When they have these other substances, sugar, artificial food, denatured food, then that healthy intuition is interfered with, and one isn't able to depend on your sense for whether food is good for you or not. So lots of children don't have such a good intuition for food. And that's a whole other topic. The other thing to say about a sense of taste is that it activates the digestive processes, and that the digestion of children and people in general are very weak now, which is why allergies and other common illnesses are an issue. So I'll go into that one more when we do a topic, nutrition and health. So getting along to the next sense, which is the sense of vision. Now, obviously everyone sees, but these senses have their major focus of development in the middle years, 7 to 14 years old. They're called the middle senses or the feeling senses. Each one of these four middle senses, if you look on the chart, smell, taste, vision, and warmth, activate your feeling in a great way. So the sense of vision has two aspects to it. The one is the perception of color, and the other is the perception of movement. These middle senses tell us about the world, so we gain our sense of the world through these middle senses. The lower senses give us our sense of self. The middle senses give us our sense of the world, and the higher senses give us the sense of other human beings. And thus, the lower senses are called the physical senses, the middle senses, the soul senses, and the higher senses are the spiritual or social senses. Now, the sense of vision, in the perception of color, we advocate that children shouldn't, aren't, it isn't healthy for them to be exposed to overly harsh and bright colors, that it hardens the sense of color and the ability to perceive color. There is a study done in Germany in the 70s in which they found that on average, people were losing 1% of their ability to perceive the world today, based on the kinds of perceptions that people are being exposed to. And a child being a little sponge really has no way of protecting itself or him or herself. So their vision can be hardened greatly from the beginning. The other thing that's detrimental to eyes are lights, artificial lights, that is, particularly strobe lights and the kinds of bright, you know, gaudy lights that we're exposed to now. Nature is helpful to the eye at all times, and when you're reading or looking at screens and so on, it's always helpful to stop and look in the distance. This sense of vision, the aspect that gives you a sense of the color, and all of the senses, when they're allowed to develop and be nurtured in a very sensitive way, begin to develop a sense of the supersensible, that is, the spiritual beings that are that have created the physical reality. And that is the main reason that Rudolf Steiner and Waldorf Education advocates taking good care of these senses, so that one can be able to develop your sense of the spiritual world and other realities. And when we're exposed to overly harsh sense perception, there our organs of perceptions are hardened. And this is particularly true of the eye. The eye takes a lot of nutrition to keep it functioning in a healthy way, and it's an organ that goes downhill very easily. Children often at 9 years old begin to need glasses and so on. So then the other aspect of vision is the sense of movement. And you can think of the eye a little bit as a limb. The eye, the arms, the hands, the legs, everything reaches and moves into the world around us. And the eyes do the same thing. When they're perceiving form, there's a very fine, barely perceptible movement of the eye so that it begins to show us that the object is round or square, etc. And it also the eye has muscles, obviously, which move them in all directions and allow the eye to follow a moving object, or called tracking, and allows the eye to shift from far focus to near focus. Children are naturally far-sighted, and when not shocked into being awake to spirit, to physical reality, they tend to stay more and far-sighted longer rather than coming to near-sighted. When you force a child through premature reading and overly focused activity, you actually damage the eyes. So modern children have wear a lot of glasses and have eye issues, often undetected, which can cause major behavioral disturbances when your eyes aren't functioning well, as it also is tied into the sense of balance, and your eyes can override a disturbed sense of balance, but they don't override all the disturbances when it is a sense of balance is disturbed. So this eye movement is terribly affected by television in particular, because one doesn't really track or watch a moving object. If you watch a person's eyes who are looking at the television screen, they're in a blind stare, beta waves, i.e. hypnosis, and children obviously are very susceptible to that hypnotic state. But their eyes also suffer, because the eyes need lots of practice to learn how to track things. The eye needs to have practice to learn how to perceive shape and form. And the eye also needs a great deal of practice to learn how to move from far focus to near focus. Naturally on its own, that doesn't mature until somewhere between 8 and 10 years old. But with a television, it isn't allowed to be used at all. When something looks like it's in the distance on a TV screen, it really isn't in the distance. So the eye doesn't do that function of moving from far to near. So, you know, children's vision is suffering quite a bit. And you've already heard that hearing or the sense of balance and movement are disturbed, which is related to hearing. So I'm moving into the higher senses and trying to get this in a 20-minute period, so I'll talk as quickly as I can. Hearing is another sense that's awfully disturbed. When you consider a child can't shut out any noises, and most children are exposed to background noises all the time. Now, everything sounds like a background noise when you're born. You cannot pick out any sounds, and that faculty begins to develop pretty early on, but it's a slower process, and this sense of hearing is disturbed by very loud noise, which many children are exposed to, and just constant noise. So you can begin to see that children do have learning issues, that the standard of education will go down because children's sense of hearing and sight, vision, is disturbed. Two key senses in education. Well, the sense of hearing is also the basis, obviously, the ear, for the sense of tone or language. That is, when one begins to perceive that not just sounds, but words and naming the world. So it's helpful to children to not listen to recorded music. I know that's an odd thing to say in a time when we're completely surrounded by that, but children need to have the soul warmth that they get from a human being. They need that soul contact. That's all they ask of you, is to be present with them and to share your soul with their little soul. So it's helpful that they hear sounds of nature. It's helpful that you use clear speech and avoid excessive talk so that they have time to process what's being said to them. Not overly sophisticated talk, but not dumbed down either. Baby talk is not helpful at all. It disturbs their sense of hearing, so they can't hear accurately and cannot duplicate how words are made. Songs are very helpful to children. They always will listen to the sung word over the spoken word because it has rhythm and melody. The other thing about recorded music is that children need to see the gestures. They need to see your facial expression. They need to hear the nuances in the tone that doesn't come through in recorded music. And they need to have a kinesthetic experience of what's being said to them in order to understand. And I don't know about you, but when I listen to the radio and try to figure out what the words are to the song, half the time I don't know what's being said. So if a child is hearing that in order to learn how to develop their speech and to develop their ability to hear, and not only to hear but to listen, it's very challenging to them. And lots of children are unable to listen in class. They cannot still themselves enough to listen to what's being said. And in the listening, to perceive not only the language, but what the thought of the other person is. So that's the next sense on the higher senses chart, the sense of thought, that we begin to understand what someone is trying to convey to us. That isn't only conveyed through the spoken word. It is through whole body expression. And a child needs to see that whole body expression, and not just see it, but all the other senses that are involved in that whole body expression. So this hearing, avoiding media, mechanized sounds and toys, mechanization, period, mechanization, mechanical objects, the refrigerators, for instance, your heart begins to beat, your blood begins to pulse to the rate of the sound of the motors. And so particularly during sleep, it's helpful to a child not to hear that kind of thing. And I recently heard that most people today, when they just out of the blue pick a tone to sing, I believe they said "Be Natural," but whatever tone it was, it's the tone that an electrical line emanates. So we've all kind of been wired, and our whole vibration harmonized to electricity, which is not helpful to any of us. So avoiding the mechanized sounds is good. Simple instruments are helpful. Say what you mean and mean what you say. Tell stories rather than reading them, because your whole expression is more involved, and I'll bring that up at another time. It's also helpful when you're telling them something to gesture, to mime when you're saying what you want them to do. Then they get a more, their sense of thought is immature, and they can understand better when there's a gesture with what's being said. So, moving right on to the perception of the ego of the other. And I believe I've said earlier that the lower senses are the organic basis for the higher senses. So the sense of touch, which gives us a deep feeling of this, I am me, this body here, I'm inside of this body, my spirit is. When that's healthy, then we can perceive the ego of the other in a healthier way. Now, all of these higher senses give us the sense of the other human beings. They are social senses. And in the time that we live, that since the senses are all basically under attack, we are antisocial. We're experiencing very socially disturbed things in our culture, in our world, because the senses are under attack. So, if you look at the list of the cosmic senses chart, cosmic nutrition, nourishing the senses, that one, it's fairly complete in terms of what's healthy and not for the different senses. I think it goes, it is well worth saying, going back a little to the sight, visual sight, that it is helpful to have children avoid cartoon characters. They all embody pessimism and sarcasm. And young children need no exposure to pessimism and sarcasm. They actually are cut off the life force, because they're thinking processes that are devoid of spiritual insight and connected to a belief in materialism and the reality, material, physical reality. It is a lot of work to protect your child, but it is well worth it in terms of their well-being. When they're young, they are happier, easier to get along with, more creative, just more fulfilled human beings when they're protected in this way. And then they also have a healthy, sound physical body perception so that they can be in the world with a lot of confidence. And so that is the end of this talk, and I hope I covered it well. This had to be added on because the tape cut off about two-thirds of the way, and I hope I covered it, the last portion, for you in a way you can understand. Okay, bye.